You fuck boys. It's a podcast where we talk about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name is Dorian. With me, as always, is Max. What's up, Max? You're making some weird rubbing sounds that I'm sure the microphone's picking up.
Yeah, I stretched and then I realized that my hands are really sticky from the ice cream I was eating earlier.
You're just rubbing yourself.
Yeah.
All right.
Easily going to town there.
This is why we're an audio format and not a video service, because you're just going to see some weird things. In this studio, this gorgeous lakeside studio.
Tetrahedron studio.
Yeah, we got the blanket back, guys. Don't worry.
I don't know what kind of intro or banter you have. I don't know. We've both had some weeks, I guess, when this debuts. Hopefully our lives will have gotten better.
Yeah, more stable, at least. More sleep would be nice. That's the only thing I'd like is, you know, maybe like more than 5 hours of sleep. That'd be tight, but... one can dream, you know.
Well, I've eaten nothing but avocados for 3 days straight.
And cashew and ice cream.
Cashew ice cream.
I saw that and got jealous.
And my favorite bar is closing, which is awful.
Oh, are you talking about the Dube?
Yeah.
It's coming back.
But you know it's not going to be the same, though. It's going to be some gastropub.
Oh, I don't know about that, but we can argue about it when we're just talking to Columbus people and not to people who listen to this podcast in
people
different areas.
In, like, England who are like, the hell are these dummies talking about?
So, Max, before we fucking lose our minds and go completely insane, what do you have for us today?
Well, I know you've had a big few weeks with some art shows.
Yeah.
Moving, mm-hmm. Doing a lot of work stuff. So I figured that we'd have a fun topic today. And right. I would let you get to learn about one of your favorite things in the world. So why don't you reach under the couch and pull out what we're going to be talking about.
Is this another trick where there's nothing under the couch? Is there something under the couch? I'm not finding anything. Are you fucking with me again?
No, you found it!
It's a party!
Maybe we should just edit that in post, because that's going to be really muddy.
I'll figure it out.
You found it! It's
a party! All right!
Party Hard by Andrew WK, which is playing very loudly right now.
Yes. Right now. Thanks to the magic of editing.
You've pulled out the incorporeal song, Party Hard by Andrew WK. So let's put that away so we can, let's just turn that down a little.
Let's put that song away.
Let's turn that down so we can get on with the podcast. I figured that the song would be fair use since it belongs to the betterment of society.
Yeah.
Like the American Constitution.
Sure.
But I thought it would brighten up your day a bit. So today we're going to be talking about an Andrew WK adjacent topic. Can you guess what it is?
Being ready to die?
No.
Partying till you puke?
Close.
Partying hard?
Death hoaxes and celebrity imposter clones.
Oh, fuck yes.
People who have been wrongfully declared dead.
Yeah, including Andrew WK.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
It's going to get really weird.
Yes.
And we have the Andrew WK stuff at the end of the show.
Okay.
So that we had some incentive to get through all this.
So stick around.
So let's not waste any time and get into the topic with the still unofficial Pre-Dead Boys Kraken of the Moment. Brought to you by LaCroix.
Mmm.
Partially.
Mmm. Classic lime over here. Classic taste. Real curious about that key lime. Haven't been able to find a can of it yet, but if anyone wants to... if anyone wants to send us some key lime LaCroix, our email address is predeadboys@gmail.com. So go ahead and hook that up and send it on over through the email.
Genuinely, if you want to do that, let me know. I will send you my personal home address and I will pay shipping for you to mail that to me. Because I haven't found it in Ohio... And I thought we were a test market, but apparently not.
Damn.
The sweet, sweet taste of the rivers of Wisconsin.
Is that where LaCroix grows?
Yeah, they're based
That's
in Wisconsin.
That's how they grow it?
Yeah. So if we have any Wisconsin listeners, I would love a brewer's jersey or some hip new LaCroix flavors.
If you can just get a growler and dip it into the LaCroix River and get us that fresh, sweet stuff. Not sweet. Zero sugar. Zero calories. Sugar. Zero artificial ingredients.
Zero sponsorship dollars.
Damn it!
So, it's kind of strange to have an episode of our Death Focus podcast that focuses entirely on people who were declared to be dead but are actually alive. But I don't really care. It's impossible to think of more than eight things about anything. Yeah. And I think we're getting close to that level.
We hit all seven topics of conversation about death already.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, anything I love, if you asked me to name, like, eight baseball players, I would get four or five in and then be like, Amir Garrett or Tyler Molly or, like, a bunch of shitty Reds players that people are like, I don't know about that.
See, I feel like you and maybe half of our listeners, at least, you could just start naming names that you heard at one point, and I'd be like, yeah, does he play for the Yankees? I don't know.
He might.
I wouldn't know.
The Reds are like an A-class name team. Like, Tucker Barnhart is a Reds player.
That's very baseball.
He sounds like a lumberjack. Let's get into the central premise of this episode first. How do you get declared dead in the first place? The obvious first step is to...
Die.
Die.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But here's how the official declarations of death are made in America if you die in a hospital or under medical care.
Okay. Most legal determinations of death in the developed world are made by medical professionals who pronounce death when specific criteria are met. Two categories of legal death are death determined by irreversible cessation of heartbeat and breathing, that would be cardiopulmonary death, and death determined by irreversible cessation of functions of the brain, brain death. In the United States, each state has laws for determining these two categories of death that are modeled after the Uniform Determination of Death Act.
Arguably the best name for an act of all time.
You should just throw the word death in anything and it does sound cooler, admittedly. You need something to spice up legal language. Just throw the word death in there and it's great.
I'm trying to think of any legal thing right now and like not a single legal...
It's because it doesn't have the word death in it. Yeah. It's all boring.
Because I'm bored by it all. Now, that was for the traditional hospital, facility, or home-based death under supervised medical care. Many of the people we're going to talk about are declared dead under presumption of death laws.
In some cases, a person will be declared dead even without any remains or doctor's declaration. This is under one of two circumstances. First, if a person was known to be in mortal peril when last seen, they can often be declared dead shortly after. Examples would be the passengers of the Titanic that were not rescued after the ship sank. Second, if a person has not been seen for a certain period of time and there has been no evidence that they are alive. The amount of time that has passed varies by jurisdiction from as little as 4 years in the U.S. state of Georgia to 20 years in Italy.
It's like really surprising that in Georgia, all you have to do is basically ghost people for 4 years. And they're like, I guess he's dead.
You think you could go 4 years without appearing to anyone you know?
This happened. I was at a bar here in the city and ran into someone that I hadn't seen since middle school and had absolutely no recollection of who she was. And she was like, no, I remember you. We were in middle school. And I was like, I remember your name, but have no recollection of you as anything. Like, you might as well have been legally dead.
Might as well.
In my mind.
To you, the arbiter of who is alive and who is dead.
Yeah, and she was also like, oh, I'm married and I have two kids. Like, life's going great. And I'm like, you might as well be dead in my head.
Yeah, what do you want, a fucking medal?
So, the main reason that someone needs to be declared dead is for insurance and inheritance purposes. A person's will cannot be executed until the person who wrote the will is legally declared dead. Additionally, insurance companies won't pay out life insurance benefits until the person on the policy is legally declared dead. It's basically so you can't fake your death to get someone out of a tight financial spot with your life insurance policy or something like that.
Gotcha.
So that brings us to our first subset of folks being incorrectly declared dead. People who are ghosted for corrupt purposes in order for some folks, relatives, enemies to gain benefits. This is specifically a huge problem in parts of India where government corruption runs pretty rampant. It's pretty gnarly over there.
Okay.
Arguably, the most famous of the quote-unquote living dead is a man by the name of Lal Bahari. Bahari's Wikipedia entry, which he does have, lists his occupations as, in order, farmer, activist, dead man.
Update the LinkedIn.
Yeah, I don't know what endorsed skills you can put on your LinkedIn.
He's really good at being dead. I'll endorse that.
Super good at not breathing. He's like definitely an anti-corruption activist, but I don't know how dead is an occupation.
Yeah, that's odd. Everyone I know who's alive is not dead. Hot takes here on Three Dead Boys.
Here's a bio sketch of him.
Lal Bahari is an Indian farmer and activist from Amilo in Azamgarh district of Uttar Pradesh, who is officially dead between 1975 and 1994. He fought with the Indian government for 19 years to prove that he is alive. Meanwhile, he added Mirtak, meaning deceased, to his name, and founded Mirtak Sangh, the Uttar Pradesh Association of Dead People, to highlight other cases like his.
Yeah, he was legally declared dead for 20 years.
Lord.
And, like, couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
He was walking around, living his life, and the government would not recognize the fact that he was alive. And this is so bad in India that they need a whole association, apparently, to deal with incidents like this.
That's a lot of not dead, dead people.
So, as you may assume, our buddy Bahari was declared dead so that an unscrupulous relative could steal some of his land.
Oh.
In a very Scooby-Doo fashion.
Jinkies. In order to apply for a bank loan, Lal Bahari visited the revenue office at Azamgarh district headquarters to get a proof of identity, whereupon he learned that he was officially dead. His uncle had bribed an official to register him as dead so that he would get the ownership of Bahari's ancestral land, which measured less than an acre. Bahari discovered at least 100 other people in a similar situation, being officially dead. He and many other members were in danger of being killed by those who had appropriated their property. The number of dead men must run into tens of thousands, says Lal Bahari.
Tens of thousands?
And it's not like they are playing some kind of prank to get insurance payouts. Like, they're victimized by other people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there's such widespread government corruption that you can walk into a, I don't know, IRS office or whatever the equivalent of the Social Security office is.
Slide them a 10 and be like, hey, say my cousin is dead. Just say it.
Yeah, for like an acre of farmland.
Yeah. Is that what I'm worth? Is that what I'm worth to you? Is it just an acre?
I know that land is probably very difficult to come by and that's your family's main source of sustenance. But like, geez, that's going to be a tough sell.
And he was legally dead for 19 years. So did he just not know that entire time until he went to check?
I don't know how long he was dead for before he checked, but he checked in 1975. He found out that he was legally declared dead and then had to spend 19 years fighting to be declared alive again.
Oh, wow. So that entire time he was fighting with the government.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And I can't imagine the kind of really uncomfortable family gatherings that this would create if you go to, you know, dinner with your parents and your cousin who bribed the government to declare you dead is there.
Hey, uncle. Hey, Lal, can you pass the curry? Motherfucker.
He would just look at you and be like, a ghost! Get it, buddy? Get it?
Yeah, I get it. Motherfucker.
Or maybe he would lean in and be like,
you're dead.
You're dead.
I own your land.
I don't know how you convince someone to let you farm on their land after they have been declared dead, too. That was very confusing.
Yeah.
Like, if I paid the government to get you declared dead, and then was like, looks like I can farm on Dorian's land now. This is great. And you showed up and you were like, hey, I'm not dead. Please don't farm on my land. And I was like, I don't know. It says you're dead. If you would just have to be like, damn it. It does.
Damn. So you would just own me for my farm labor because I'm legally dead. This sucks. This sucks a lot.
Yeah.
I thought we were going into some fun, goofy pranks, some hijinks. but this guy got his shit taken.
He had a rough go at it, but he was, and has been, he's still alive. He has been on his grind to prove that he was alive.
Yeah.
And to help other people out who are in this situation.
Over the years, Bihari tried to attract attention to his situation by various means. He organized his own funeral and demanded widow's compensation for his wife. In 1980, he added the word Murtok to his name and signed his letters Late Lal Bihari. He stood unsuccessfully for election against Rajiv Gandhi in 1989 to prove that he is alive. In 1994, he managed to have his official death annulled after a long legal struggle. So he had to run for some sort of public office just to prove that he was alive.
And that didn't even do it. It took 5 years after that for them to be like, all right, I guess.
So what finally did it, do we know?
He just finally was able to convince enough people in the government to get off their asses and fill out the paperwork to reassign him like a new number and fix all his legal stuff that he was freed or resurrected.
Sure. Yeah, unprecedented legal situation there, so who knows what they call him. But just by pestering them, basically, he finally...
Yeah.
After 19 years.
There's articles where he's like, I can't work because nobody will accept my work papers.
Because he's dead.
So he had to file for life insurance so his wife was able to make money because he couldn't get a job.
This is a shitty situation.
But Bihari has done actually a lot of good out of this. A lot of folks who end up being taken advantage of in this way are unable to pay for the legal process that Bihari went through. Or they're uneducated, they're illiterate, they just can't muster up the case. They basically can't defend themselves.
Right.
So Bihari still runs his organization as kind of a legal defense fund for people who have been wrongfully declared dead. There's no way for a lot of these people to collect Social Security or money from the government. So a lot of them are just stuck in poverty. I did find one case of a man named Paltan Yadov, which sounds Russian.
Right.
Who lost all his land and all his possessions because he was legally declared dead. And instead of fighting it, he was just like, I guess I'm dead. And now lives as a Hindu monk, but is still legally dead.
See, that's making lemonade out of lemons right there. That's inspirational. You just take the hand that life gives you and...
Yeah.
And you play the card. You just keep coming up with metaphors until you figure out something to do while you're legally dead.
Mix those cards in with the lemons. And,
that's right.
I mean, I guess if like you have no more earthly possessions and you don't really know what to do, you might as well pick the career path that is the most ascetic.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to be making a huge life change if you're already considered legally dead. You can be like, well, now's as good a time as any to be a monk.
If you had your slate wiped completely clean, what would you do? Would you move?
I don't know. I rather like Columbus, but it's kind of hard to say because what would I be prohibited from doing if I were in that situation? I always like to play it out in my mind like I'd be a vigilante. I'd like fight crime, but I also have some moral quandaries about that. Just philosophically, I think that there are some issues with that.
Yeah.
And I've just watched entirely too many movies growing up where that happens, where
like
it's
Death
like,
Witch.
Yep, that's good. Yeah, it's vigilante justice is always right and never has any problems. I don't know. I'll have to reevaluate and stop watching Batman to figure it out.
Yeah, it's a tough sell because it's like, would my job fire me if I was legally dead?
It's a public service. It's a government. Is it a government job if it's the public library?
I work for the county, I think.
Okay.
Public library, so yeah.
They'd can your ass then.
Yeah.
You're dead to them.
But get off the payroll, dork.
You're dead, you doofus.
And I would just go in and like type up my legal cases against the United States.
I, dead Max McKenna.
If you are in the position to, Murtok Song is still an active activist group. And if you want to go check them out and support them, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Seems like they're doing some pretty good anti-corruption work over there in India.
Yeah.
So let's move from corrupt governments to people just kind of being big dummies.
Hell yeah.
Talk about our next bit.
That's a little more my speed.
Premature obituaries.
Woo!
Now you got the infamous Mark Twain premature obituary quote, which is, rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Yes.
But premature obituaries happen more than you would think. especially with the advent of the internet, which has been very bad for things accidentally getting released into the world.
Yeah, the 24-hour news cycle is rough.
Yeah, because, you know, when your average run-of-the-mill person dies, your Joe Schmo, your Dorian Lafferty, when they die, it's, you know, not a huge news thing.
Wait. Did you say Dorian Lafferty like I'm some average schmuck? How fucking dare you?
I'm just saying, you're not going to get written up by CNN.
I have almost 1,000 followers on Instagram. I'm kind of a big deal.
Oh, damn, that's good.
Yeah, it's just, you just hashtag drawing things the right way, and people find you.
The
bots.
It's a lot
of bots, though, I'll be honest.
But like you mentioned, with the 24-hour news cycle, when someone famous or rich dies, you got to be ready to drop that obituary for the clicks.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to get the return on... I don't know, how did you fucking make money off of clicks? You ever really think about that? Like, how silly that is?
I think it's ads. Like, every 5,000 clicks, you get $5 for an ad? I don't know.
That Google just smiles on you like, yes, have some of our billions and billions of wealth. We don't care. Here's some money for getting clicks.
For clicks.
Kind of what it boils down to.
Yeah.
The internet's weird.
The internet's weird, but so is print media. Here's a note from a New York Times article where they peeled the curtain back on their creative process.
The Times has long made a practice of keeping a deep reservoir of advance obits ready so that no matter how prominent the subject, nor how close to deadline she might slip the bonds of the earth, we will be ready with a sweeping biography. The practice was gently lampooned in a Paul Noth cartoon in The New Yorker that depicts a woman introducing a wizened gentleman at a party. Mr. Stevenson is the subject of a widely anticipated obituary, she says. Nice. That's a solid zinger.
Dunk.
There are 1,600 to 1,700 advance obits in the system. They are added at a rate of about 3 a week. The reservoir is drained at roughly the same rate.
That's so many. I've known about this because, to part the curtain on our own creative process, this was one of our demo episodes.
Right.
Premature Obituaries. So I've known that they have 1,500 obituaries just sitting on a computer somewhere. But it blows my mind every time. It's so goofy.
Yeah.
You know, these premature obituaries are where we cop the name for this podcast.
That's right.
Because staff writers often refer to people as being, quote-unquote, pre-dead.
Ding!
Because, I mean, if you're, like, writing obituaries for people all the time, you're gotta have, like, a sense of humor about the thing.
Sure.
You know, if you're a staff writer for the New York Times, and you're like, oh, I'm going to go see the new Avengers movie this weekend. And you're sitting there and you're watching Hawkeye get married to the Hulk after they kill Batman.
Dude, no spoilers.
You're sitting there watching that and you're like, oh man, Edward Norton's up there. I just had to write Edward Norton's obituary today. That's a bummer. That would be kind of surreal.
That would be.
I feel like that kind of weird sense of humor creates a bit of laxness from time to time.
In 2003, CNN managed to make all its stock obits available on its website. Many were only sketches and used templates taken from other well-known figures. Dick Cheney's obit used the Queen's template and described him as, quote, the UK's favorite grandmother.
With a U in favorite.
Yes, true. Very British. Fidel Castro's drew on Ronald Reagan's and offered a revisionist view of him as, quote, lifeguard, athlete, movie star, end quote.
Which you know he is. You know that they made some movies in Cuba in the 60s and 70s that were just Fidel Castro doing cool stuff.
Lifeguarding, surfing, snowboarding. He's also a secret agent for the CIA, and his boss is Samuel Jackson. He's Triple X. It wasn't Vin Diesel. A lot of people confuse Vin Diesel for Fidel Castro. It's a common misconception. Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely pulling back the window on the creative process, I guess, if you just accidentally leak all of your obituaries.
Yeah. On these pre-dead people.
Yeah.
And hey, if you're listening to this, we're not the only pre-dead boys here recording this podcast. You're pre-dead as well. Give yourself a pre-dead pat on the back, then.
Little P-D-P-O-T-B.
P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P-P.
Plosives. So, personally, I kind of like when people get a little petty with obituaries as well.
Hell yeah.
And then they get prematurely released, which increases the pettiness. It doesn't seem to happen a lot anymore, But apparently, if you were writing for a newspaper in the 1800s, you got complete license to talk as much shit about anybody as you wanted.
The obituaries of Swedish-born arms manufacturer Alfred Nobel were erroneously published in 1888 when he was confused with his late brother Ludwig. Quote, "The merchant of death is dead," thundered one French paper, which said that Nobel, quote, "became rich by finding ways to kill more people faster than ever before."
That's a harsh burn.
It is.
It's like one of those burn ward.
Real rude.
I mean, the dude invented dynamite and manufactured cannons and a lot of military stuff for years.
Yeah. So he's a murderer, yeah, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Real stone.
Personally. So maybe at that point he had it coming. But he did create the Nobel Prize after that. So that's kind of a cool get for him.
Yeah.
Especially the Nobel Peace Prize, I guess. I guess that's the big one.
Peace and dynamite always go hand in hand. That's what I always say.
All right. So here's the part that I know you have been waiting for.
Hell yeah.
We're going to get to the Andrew W.K. section of the episode. We're going to get to talk about celebrity imposters.
Are we going to talk about Steve Mike?
Steve Mike. It's kind of building off what we talked about already, except that the people that get accused of being imposters are like, well, I wasn't declared dead. Nobody said I was. It's just a bunch of nerds on the internet looked way too closely at two different pictures of me. So, Dorian, as a preeminent Andrew W.K. scholar,
yes,
what do you know about the Andrew W.K. imposter situation?
Basically, just what you said, that a bunch of people on the internet freaked out and made a bunch of conspiracy memes. They were like, see these two photos? How could these possibly be the same person? Do you see? And I don't know what they had as a precursor to Reddit. Maybe just random internet forums.
Geocities.
Somewhere. Buried somewhere on an Angel Fire page. It's this hot gossip that Andrew W.K. had died and was replaced by a guy named Steve Mike.
Yes.
Who looked like him, but not enough like him to be him.
He's like, Steve Mike is the I can't believe it's not butter of Andrew W.K., basically.
Can't believe it's not AWK.
Yeah. So the website what-happened-to-awk.weebly.com is out here asking the hard questions.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, you read this shit and it's like a slightly less problematic time cube. But their belief is that in 2004, something happened to Andrew W.K.
Something sinister?
Something sinister.
Nefarious, even?
He angered the wrong people at the record company by trying to get out of the business.
The record company?
Yeah, it's like, everything says, like, the record company. Like, there's one malevolent entity that controls everything.
The Record Corporation.
Because he did that, he got killed and was replaced.
Right, like they do.
Yeah, it's wild. And there's this whole thing, like you mentioned earlier, about how Andrew W.K., it was replaced by Steve Mike, and that's based on the fact that he used to maybe go by the stage name Steve Mike, or someone named Steve Mike, worked on an album once. I don't know. It's really crazy. And if you dig around on the internet long enough about it, it escalates into some really goofy territory. Like, this is a major feature of the what-happened-to-Andrew W.K.,
You skipped a dash there, so can you go back?
And dash
hit
dot.
It? Can you hit it from the top?
What-happened-to-awk.weebly.com.
Now, actually, I think there's a dash in the middle of Weebly, so can you go back to the beat? No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's hear from them, the experts here. I don't think you're wrong to define Andrew's message and morality in such positive terms, but for me, the surface positivism is only half the story. The occult is self-perpetuating, as are mystery and conspiracy. As soon as you suggest that the story you're telling might not be the real story, the, quote, real story escapes your grasp. All that survives in a field of doubt is doubt. And the further one gets from the moment of initial confusion, the more doubt becomes magnified by the echo chamber effect of endless questioning and re-questioning.
I love it. It's so paranoid.
Just look into it, okay?
It's Time Cube. Like, are you familiar with Time Cube?
No, I'm not.
It's basically this old GeoCities website that's legitimately just 400 pages on one almost infinite scrolling page. That's just this dude's theory that the Earth is a cube, or that time is a cube or something. I don't know, but it all kind of devolves into this.
Nonsense, conspiracy theory nonsense.
Really, Andrew WK is probably just super weird and likes messing with people.
Yeah.
He's a total weirdo.
That's likely.
And, you know, it's strange that this happens with celebrities a lot, but the whole root of it is this, like, weird, quote-unquote, corporate media,
right,
end-quote, explanation. Like, you know, Britney Spears or Avril Lavigne was an entity that was created to sell albums, but then they died in a car crash. And so instead of having the record label lose sales, they
created a new one.
They created a new one through, like, cloning or something like that.
Right.
And it gets a little weirder than cloning sometimes. This dude, Donald Marshall, claims himself to be a clone, and he believes that there's a secret celebrity cloning colony on the moon.
Yeah,
and that our obviously. Earth celebrities here, our Earth celebrities die constantly. He's got this big, like, 2-hour manifesto video on YouTube, which is extremely difficult to watch, but there's a very choice excerpt from it here.
Damn, did you watch the whole thing?
No, God, no. Oh. It's, like, not even a video, it's just, like, a static frame of, like, an ice hockey rink, and he's just talking about these harvesting colonies.
All right, here's what he says. The royal family of England, yes, Queen Elizabeth, Philip Duke of Edinburgh, and Prince Charles, are the worst of them. Unbelievable, depraved perverts, all showing off for the celebrities that go there. Vladimir Putin loves to put the fear of torture and death into people, but is essentially a cowardly pervert himself. Most of the famous people are ashamed of the perverse and disgusting gatherings.
I think my new go-to insult is going to be cowardly pervert.
It's pretty destructive just calling someone that. I would feel crushed if you called me a cowardly pervert. So wait, does he explain what's perverted and depraved? Just cloning in and of itself is this depraved, nasty act only nasty boys do.
Basically, like, there's not even, like, a rhyme or reason. Like, sure, there's probably orgies happening up there, but it seems like he doesn't care about that. From the start, his go-to insult is just pervert, and it doesn't matter what you're doing.
Does he know that the word pervert usually has some kind of sexual connotation, or does he think pervert is just anybody who does something that's not according to the rules?
I think he might be a little misguided.
That guy tried to rob a convenience store?
What a pervert.
Sick pervert.
A remarkable thing about these celebrities dying is how quickly the Illuminati gets brought into it.
Oh, of course.
So if you want to really get into the celebrity death Illuminati clone theories, there's a very good video from this dude named George Green, which we're going to check out here for a second.
Absolutely. You know, if you go to Disney World, for instance, down there in the Haunted Mansion, you see the hologram, right? Oh, you know how to make a hologram. Well, our scientists have learned how to make people. If I got a fertilized egg, all I need is a receiver in order to make it. So they were hypnotizing women, you know, said they were being invaded by aliens. And the original technology was given to our government by the Greys.
Now,
yep, there they are.
I talked to the doctor that was working on regeneration of Castro, for instance.
Right.
On the DNA sequencing.
Fidel Castro.
He's talking about Vin Diesel. About this.
My understanding is that a lot of presidents have already been replaced.
That's right. Even Hitler had he had his stand-in. In fact, his stand-in was the one that they found in the ground over in Germany. I mean, mm-hmm. Hitler and Eva and the dog and 14 other people got aboard a plane and flew down to Barcelona, Spain. You were aware of that. And then ended up in Antarctica or in Swabenland and then died a few years ago in Brazil.
That's what we heard.
I have all the documents from our own government.
Oh, you do? Okay.
The documents.
Yeah. The documents.
Stalin asked for they tried to burn the body and he got the body back. And he said, we're in different years and the testicles were different and everything else. So they knew.
The balls.
It's always got to go to the dick and balls.
I have a doctor friend that all does is treat the clones.
Where do you get your information?
I get it from some of the people that are willing to come forth and they talk to me because they hope I'll put the information out because they always got two people following them and maybe be killed.
Two.
If I start talking about cloning too much, the people that get involved
too
into
much.
That disappear.
Too much.
So I don't go into too many more details. But there is information that's available. It's okay. On the CD. Let's download it on this beam. Now we got a walking, talking duplicate. that has the total memory that you have, because we just took it off of your own mind.
Okay, it's like Blade Runner, the android.
Exactly.
Yeah, that dude is on his grind about fake celebrity deaths.
Yeah, and aliens.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's like Fidel Castro, fake death hoax. Or, like, I guess he's saying that Fidel Castro is dead, but there's actually a clone that's running Cuba.
Oh, they tried to clone him many times. Just ask someone at Camp David. If the nurses come forward, they'll tell you. They'll tell you. They call him the others. It's charming, really.
you know, all the presidents, all replaced.
All of them are replaced. They're just walking around. They're all still alive, but clones.
They're getting assassinated on the reg by Russia. And we just got to keep churning them all out.
Target practice. Target practice clones.
It's really weird how there's this, like, super boring bureaucratic side to when people get prematurely declared dead. Like, it's like, this is weird. I gotta go to the Social Security office and get my Social Security number reassigned and figure out all my banking stuff and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the exact opposite side where this dude is like, well, if you look at Stalin's testicles, you can clearly note the difference between the clone's testicles and Stalin's actual testicles.
Yeah. The fixation on the testicles made things really fun. That's the thing. Here's my thing about conspiracy theories in general. They're always going to be fun. They're all so fun to believe that they're true. But it's just, you can throw out anything that sounds interesting. And if you have even like a slight shred of truth in there somewhere, people are inclined to believe it.
Yeah.
And as soon as you press for sources or anything like that, these people will kind of fold. Or they'll go back to being boring and talk about boring things.
Yeah.
And just make up boring shit so that you lose interest and don't pay attention and don't think about it any farther. You just sit there with this weird thought like, I guess I don't know what Stalin's testicles look like, so I can't.
But this guy's talking with a lot of authority about what they do look like.
I've seen a lot of testicles.
I've seen a lot of communist testicles in my day.
You didn't know I'm a testicle doctor for the Pentagon.
That's where I get my information and my sources.
Yeah, obviously.
It's so goofy. There's tons of stuff like this on YouTube of people claiming that, like, Obama or Avril Lavigne died or, like, they got killed or something and then were immediately replaced by Illuminati clones.
Right.
That kept making, like, shitty, edgy pop music.
Make the clones make better music, at least.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I know Avril Lavigne made a lot of money originally, but to keep her alive in clone form and just have her keep making, what's that one song about summer that she had? Bitchin' Summer.
Is that what it was called?
Avril Lavigne's clone apparently made a song called Bitchin' Summer, and it's one of the worst things that I've heard in my entire life.
Well, you know that, I don't know if you know this, but I know from my sources that Avril Lavigne actually had a lot of input into the development of her own clone. Did you not read about this in the documents?
I didn't. Can you can you give me here?
Well, she was going back and forth with the Camp David doctors and nurses and staff that were creating these replicants, and they kept giving her, you know, like cybernetic attachments, uh-huh. and she could do these really outlandish things and physical feats of strength and agility. Uh-huh. But it was too much, and she actually turned to the doctors and said, hey, why you gotta go and make things so complicated?
God damn it.
Yeah, I got you, motherfucker.
I thought you had done a lot of research into Avril Lavigne's supposed death.
No, I didn't. I just... But that's the thing, is you can just pull stuff out of your butt and make it sound really serious.
And people are like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
And the only difference between me and this green guy is that I had a punchline at the end so you knew I was joking. And we can move on with the rest of our lives and not be confused about what is reality.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
I wonder if people get into this as kind of like a... almost like a hero worship thing. Like, you're sitting around in the 60s and you're like, oh, I really love Paul McCartney. And then the Beatles started getting worse. I don't know. You lost interest and you're like, oh, well, Paul McCartney must have died because the real Paul, there's no way he would be making music that sounds like this, Wings.
This does not meet my objective standards of what a creative person should be doing. The only explanation is that they have been assassinated by the government and they replaced him with a clone where they could control him and make money off of him even though the original is deceased. It's the only logical explanation for why Wings existed.
The only one. I genuinely don't know who this would be weirder for. Like, if I woke up tomorrow and was like, oh, wait, I accidentally got legally declared dead and I guess I have to take PTO for a couple weeks and get that all sorted out. Yeah. Or if I was, you know, Andrew WK and I could go online and find 40-page manifestos about the fact that I supposedly died and was replaced by a clone and am not alive anymore.
Well, I don't know what would be weirder, but you could continue your life if you were alleged to be cloned. And you wouldn't be able to really continue your life if you were legally dead.
That's true. I guess that question has a pretty simple answer that I just had ignored the possibility of.
It's okay. That's why we're here, to ask the hard questions and to get all of the answers. Pre-dead boys, we solve all mysteries and we are not clones.
It's investigative. We're doing some investigative journalism over here.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's all I have on people who get wrongfully declared dead, both problematically or stupidly. So maybe the next time you see someone who has a nice piece of land that gets declared dead, or a celebrity gets declared dead, maybe do some fact-checking before you believe it.
Yeah, and maybe don't believe everything you hear, especially if it's coming from some smug dude on YouTube.
Or GeoCities.
Or Weebly.
Any free website, just don't bite into that.
Sometimes you can have a solid goof from telling people that somebody's dead, but we here at Pre-Dead Boys do not advise taking that step. Get you into trouble.
Please don't do that.
Well, thank you, Max. And thank you, Andrew WK, for still being alive. We don't believe you're Steve, Mike. We believe you're the real deal. And we love you a lot.
Andrew, if you hear this and you want to come onto this podcast and discuss what it's like to actually be the subject of a death hoax, please let us know.
That would be very party. We would love that.
We can do it during Rock on the Range.
Dude, yeah. I would actually go to Rock on the Range, and only under those circumstances.
I'd see Power Trip.
Ooh, yeah. Is Code Orange going to be there, too?
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be a good year for hardcore. Anyway, that's our episode. If you want to support us, here are a few ways you can do that. Up the top, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. If you leave us a review, we will read it on air. And it's like you are a special guest in this lakeside studio of the Pre-Dead Boys mansion. Overlooking the
Cupertino, California.
Yep. Yep. We're on the top of a mountain.
Where is Cupertino, California? I gotta do some investigative journalism here.
I thought you made that word up.
Nope. It's in Silicon Valley.
Oh, all right.
You know, we're doing like podcasts on the tech hub of the world.
I think it's, I don't know if it's still the tech hub or if that's kind of dying out, but I don't know. What I do know is that the reviews are in, Max. We got 2 5-star reviews this week.
Whoa.
One of them's from your buddy. You ready for this?
My bud. Who?
The title of this review is "Hey Max" by
Hello
by XJXVX.
Oh, Justified Violence. No, this is my dude Jordan.
Jordan says, "Good podcast. I like learning about death and stuff. Let's play D&D together soon. Ooh, let me know if you need a guest for an episode about death in Dungeons and Dragons. Kissy face emoji. Love ya, JV."
Aw, thanks, Jordan. Jordan runs a very good blue whale-based Twitter account that just tweets out incorrect facts about blue whales. It's very funny.
All right. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
You going to play D&D with him or what?
Oh, we probably should at some point. I haven't dabbled in a while, but I got to get back in the game.
Right on. I've never actually played D&D. I'm like a little more short campaign game sort of person.
Uh-huh. It's very fun.
I believe it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want to like make a character and then play for 30 minutes and then be like, I'm bored, because my attention span is like a fucking 5-year-old's. Well, have fun playing Dungeons Dragon.
Dungadaggins.
Have fun playing Dungadaggins.
Dungadaggins. Isn't Dungadaggins the main character in The Hobbit?
I think you're right. I heard it from the Greys. Thank you, JV, for the positive review. Max will get back to you soon about a D&D date. We got another one. This one is from Sekka7. It's just called Death Positive. She says, I love this show and you guys. It's super interesting and mixing in the humor with death positivity makes it really enjoyable. I too hope for LaCroix rivers in the future.
Yay!
Hell yeah. Thank
for
you.
For us or for everyone?
Why not everyone?
Yeah.
You get a LaCroix. And you get a LaCroix. And you get you a LaCroix. We at Pre-Dead Boys definitely aspire to be the Oprah Winfreys of LaCroix to the rest of the world.
The good news is that I can't throw that hard. So if I threw a can of LaCroix at someone while yelling, you get a LaCroix, it probably wouldn't hurt that bad.
Yeah. We'll hide it under the seat. So thank you, Seca, for the review. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this podcast and writing reviews. And just in general, sharing it with your friends helps us out a lot. Putting the word out, we really appreciate it.
It's very kind.
We want to hear what you think, though. We love hearing feedback, episode suggestions. What death-related or death-tangential stuff should we talk about next? You can tell us on Twitter or Instagram, at PreDeadBoys. You can email us at predeadboys@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group by searching Pre-Dead Boys Podcast. Should be the first result that comes up. I also made a Facebook page, and I don't really know how that works or if I'm going to use it at all. And I might even edit out my saying that just now.
So, I don't know. I don't know what it does.
Yeah, I don't know. If you want to help us financially and help us pay for hosting fees, recording equipment, LaCroix rivers. We're trying to hire out the times to write some advanced obits for us. You can donate a $3 or more tip via ko-fi.com/predeadboys. There's also like a social function to like adding friends and followers and stuff on that. I got to play with that and figure that out because I don't know how that works yet.
Yeah, some fun with it.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Buy me a Ko-fi.
I'll get you that Ko-fi. We did get a little tip from friend of the podcast, Jen. She says...
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. Never thought I would laugh so much at death and decomposition. Looking forward to the next episode. Well, your voice has been heard, and we made another episode. So this episode is dedicated to our friend, Jen Berry. Thanks a lot. Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by Brat Curse. You can check them out at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. And that's going to do it for us. Max, you got any parting words of wisdom that you want to maybe suggest to our listeners?
Just that if you're trying to figure out if a dictator is dead or not, just check the balls, I guess.
Check the balls. You heard it here first. Thanks for listening, y'all. We'll see you next time.
My mom listens to this.
She's gonna hear that. I'm keeping it in. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Try that again. Check, 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 check. Gotta get the full...
Push to the limit.
Full range of sound. For when I'm inevitably screaming during this spooky episode.